he said, looking far from happy over getting the listing. "Jenna, I know I advised you to sell, but I'm sorry you have to. I really am." She wanted to say a polite thank you, but her throat squeezed over the words like a boa constrictor, and all she could do was nod and try not to tear up. "There has to be something we can do," Tyrella said, as Rion Lachelle came up to talk to Brody. Jenna shook her head. She was out of ideas. "You know, I've been thinking about this," Tyrella said. She didn't get a chance to go any further. "Let's all take our seats," Brody called to everyone, bringing an end to the chit-chat. "Thinking what?" Jenna asked, not wanting to let go of a promising conversation. Patricia called Tyrella over to sit with her. "I'll bring it up when we get to new business," she said to Jenna, then went to join Patricia. They instantly had their heads together, and Jenna wondered what they were up to. She finally gave up trying to imagine. There wasn't anything she could think of that could possibly help at this point. Lunch was served, and Jenna, seated between Brody and Ellis, could only pick at her fish and chips. Halfway through lunch, Brody called the meeting to order. Jenna tried to listen to the various reports, but her thoughts kept drifting. What could she have done differently? Wasn't there some way they could hang on to the driftwood? Of course there wasn't. As for staying in the house, would Aunt Edie really be happy remaining there and seeing someone else with what had once been hers? How would she feel if some big-name chain moved in and took over? "Any new business?" Brody asked. They were on to new business already. Jenna tried to pull herself away from her miserable thoughts and pay attention. "Yes," Tyrella said. "We need another festival." "What else is new?" Susan Banks said sourly. "What did you have in mind?" Brody asked. "A fundraiser. We need to save the Driftwood Inn." That got Jenna's attention. She looked at Tyrella in shock. "She just won a ton of money," Susan protested. "Why on earth do we need to jump in and give her more? No offense," she said to Jenna. "Because Uncle Sam and her ex took most of it. She needs money for a new roof or she can't open, and she needs..." Tyrella turned to Jenna. "What else do you need?" Jenna's cheeks burned under Susan's unsympathetic glare. She stumbled down her list. "But I don't expect anyone to give me money." "None of us can spare that kind of money," Susan said. "A lot of us are struggling to keep our own doors open." "Perhaps we need to think in terms of a yearly event where we raise funds to help struggling businesses or help new startups," said Patricia Whiteside. "Once in a blue moon, we all need help." "That's what we could call the festival," Nora said. "The Blue Moon Festival. I'm sure Sherwood could help us set up a non-profit account. Right, Sherwood?"
"Well, of course he can," Patricia answered for him. "I think this is an excellent idea. How many businesses have we seen come and then go because they couldn't afford to keep their doors open long enough to establish a customer base? You all know the challenges of being a tourist-driven business when that business is seasonal." Everything she said made sense, but Jenna felt her whole face and neck on fire as Patricia spoke. Jenna Jones, the town beggar.
"We've had a lot of discussion about trying to figure out ways to bring people down here," said Nora. "Everyone loves a festival. Think how well the Sand and Surf did."
"When would you hold it?" Susan asked suspiciously.
"As soon as possible," said Tyrella.
"We've just had the 4th of July," Susan pointed out, "and that was a mess to clean up after."
"August," said Tyrella. "We could hold it the first weekend in August. People are still in vacation mode and haven't started their back-to-school shopping yet."
"That only gives us a month to plan," Susan protested. Ellis jumped in.
"What's to plan? You open your shops up, call in some vendors, and everybody kicks in a share of their profits. There's always musicians looking for a venue to play at, and artists who want to sell their artwork. We set up a bunch of booths on the pier and charge people for the use of them. The church ladies do bake sales, We get some carny rides in. We're good to go.
And just where do we get the money for advertising? Susan demanded. Our money for the year is all budgeted.
I'll kick in 500, Brody said.
So will I, Patricia said, and I'll give 1,000 to start our fund.
I'll donate 500 to the cause, said Tyrella.
Me too, Nora said.
I'm strapped for cash, but I can design the posters, said Rhianne Lachelle.
Jenna could hardly believe what she was hearing. Hope and guilt warred inside her. Hope won. Maybe, just maybe, the driftwood could be saved.
Before the meeting ended, a vote had been taken, and the motion to establish the first annual Blue Moon Festival had carried. A committee had been established, consisting of Tyrella, Patricia, Ellis, Rhianne, and Brody, and Sherwood had been put in charge of setting up a 501c3 for the new nonprofit, which would exist under the umbrella of the chamber.
I don't know how to thank you all, Jenna said, looking around the room teary-eyed.
No need, said Patricia. When one of us succeeds, we all succeed. We should have thought of something like this years ago.
Looks like you might want to hold off on listing the driftwood, Brody said to Jenna after the meeting broke up.
It looks that way, she said with a smile. She couldn't stop smiling. Thank you so much.
I told you the money would come, Tyrella said, and gave her a hug.
Yes, you did, and now I need to get home and tell Aunt Edie the good news. This was the medicine her aunt had needed all along.
She found Aunt Edie resting on the couch, Sabrina reading to her from her dystopian mutant teen novel. If Damien could see their daughter now, he still wouldn't want to be bothered with her. His loss. If he wanted to slack off on visitation, that was fine with her. And anyway, Jenna didn't want to share.
Guys, you'll never guess what happened at the chamber meeting, she said, rushing into the living room. We're going to save the Driftwood Inn!
For real? Sabrina asked, eyes lighting up.
I don't understand, said Aunt Edie.
Jenna recounted the events of the meeting.
That means we don't have to move, Sabrina exclaimed.
This from the girl who only a short while ago was dying to leave. Aunt Edie put a trembling hand to her heart.
I can't believe it.
It's true. I was there. We're going to make it, Aunt Edie. We're going to save the driftwood.
We need to celebrate, Aunt Edie said. Sabrina, why don't you and I make some cookies? We'll have a beach fire tonight.
Are you sure you're up for that? Jenna asked, concerned.
Oh, yes. This has given me a new lease on life. We need to party, don't we, Sabrina?
Sabrina was all over that, and the couch and the book were abandoned, and Jenna was sent to invite Seth to join them.
No shit, he said when she told him the news.
No shit. The town is really coming through for us.
People helping each other. Novel idea, he cracked. Think it'll catch on?
We can only hope.
Once again, a bonfire blazed on the beach. Pete had 2 helpings of Aunt Edie's beans and gobbled 6 of the oatmeal cookies she and Sabrina had baked. Seth played his guitar, and they sang Found a Peanut and 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. Pete thought up a new ghost story to tell about a girl with pink hair who drove away the ghosts from a haunted motel, only to be eaten by a giant squid that left Jenna and Seth chuckling and Sabrina frowning. Aunt Edie didn't last long, announcing that she was tired, and Pete escorted her back to the house. Sabrina went in soon after to write in her journal, and Seth and Jenna stayed behind to let the fire die down.
I still can't believe how quickly everything's changed, she said, watching a piece of burning wood break and fall into the flames.
Life can turn on a dime.
I guess the trick is to be ready to turn with it. Thanks for being there the other night.
That kiss, that had been worth $1,000,000. I didn't do anything, but I'm glad someone's come to your rescue. If I'd had any money, I'd have done it.
You gave me comfort.
Comfort's good. Money's better. You need to find yourself a rich man.
Where had that come from?
Get together with somebody with money and a good credit rating, and you'll never have to worry about the driftwood again.
If I'd found someone with money, then this festival would never have happened. Maybe, she added thoughtfully, all our struggles here have been for a reason. Maybe the people of Moonlight Harbor needed a catalyst to help them think bigger than they'd been thinking. Maybe we all needed to realize how much we need each other.
He cocked a brow at her. No man is an island.
Or even a peninsula, she cracked.
He smiled and moved a little closer, put an arm around her. Jenna Jones, you're something special.
Was she?
Nah.
I don't think so.
I do, he said, and brushed her lips with his.
Oh, baby. He gave her lips another little brush. Keep it up.
And then he got serious, and she turned into a melting marshmallow again. Boundaries. Where were those pesky boundaries when you needed them?
He found them just as she was about to go over the edge, and pulled away, straightening her top.
I'm thinking we shouldn't be making a habit of this. Bonfires are dangerous.
Yes, and a girl could get burned. But darn, she'd been enjoying the heat.
He stood up and held out his hand.
Come on, time to go in.
Do I have to?
We both have to, he said,
and together they put out the fire. Aunt Edie was her old, chipper self again when her friends came over on Friday. Everyone was excited about the upcoming festival.
We're going to have a booth and sell sundaes and floats, Nora announced.
Susan's not doing anything, Courtney said in disgust.
Why am I not surprised, Jenna thought.
Which is fine with me, because I'm going to have a fashion show on the beach and sell some of my designs. I've already got a primo spot. It pays to know important people, she added, grinning at Patricia.
I think it will be lovely, Patricia said, and I'm going to be one of her models.
I hope you and Sabrina will too, Courtney said to Jenna.
For sure, she promised.
If I can sell enough pieces, then maybe I can quit, Courtney said. In fact, maybe I will anyway, she added with a snap of her gum. I'm getting tired of being Susan's doormat.
We'll be hiring soon, Jenna told her. I could use someone to work the reception desk in the evenings.
With an evening job, I could sew during the day, Courtney said thoughtfully.
Where would you sell your clothes? Tyrella asked.
Courtney's mouth drooped.
Good question. I can't afford to rent space.
I've been thinking of adding a little boutique shop at my place, Patricia said. Maybe we can work something out if your fashion show goes well.
A boutique at the Oyster Inn? Whoa, Courtney said in awe.
Poor Susan, Tyrella said. She'll be out of business in a month.
Not necessarily, said Aunt Edie, who was wearing a pair of 25% off pink slacks from Beach Babes. A lot of women like her clothes.
There's room for more than one clothing store here, Patricia said easily.
Talk about the upcoming festival continued. It seemed everyone had something planned for it.
Ellis and I are making a dunk tank, Tyrella announced. $1 a pop to try and sink the members of the city council. I can think of a lot of people who will pay for a chance to do that.
I'm going to have a booth and sell my caramel corn, Annie said, and Emma's going to help me.
The church women are doing a bake sale, and the youth group is selling Belgian waffles, Patricia reported. The other churches are having booths, too. Oh, and Nora's bill is making us a giant thermometer so we can show how much money we raise.
How's that going to work in just one day? Jenna asked Nora.
I don't know, she said. He's in charge of that. I'll have my hands full selling ice cream.
We can't thank you all enough, Aunt Edie said, misty-eyed.
Edie, we all love you,
Patricia said to her. And really, we should be thanking you for inspiring us. It's important to pull together, and everyone benefits when we do. Anyway, our town can use a facelift, and we may as well start with the Driftwood Inn.
Shiny, penny, pretty, thought Jenna. Maybe the mayor had something there.
Plans continued to move forward. Once again, the Driftwood Inn made the news. How the money was lost was handled diplomatically, and the focus quickly switched from the recipient of the funds to the new festival's mission statement, which was to help deserving Moonlight Harbor businesses prosper.
Was this your idea? Aaron asked Jenna.
I wish, she said. No, all the credit goes to Tyrella Lamb for coming up with the idea, and our Chamber of Commerce members for supporting her. Without our local businesses, this never would be happening.
Happen it did. Come the first Saturday in August, the town was once more alive with a party atmosphere. Stores were offering sales, and next to each cash register sat a giant donation jar painted with a blue moon and a starfish, one of the Friday night group's craft projects, and a little card explaining the purpose of the festival and featuring an old photo of the Driftwood Inn in its prime. Visitors were happily stuffing dollars in those jars. They were also strolling from booth to booth on the pier at the end of town, downing ice cream sundaes and floats, Belgian waffles, elephant ears, Euros, and Annie's caramel corn, purchasing seascapes and metal fish sculptures from local artists, and picking up brochures from Beach Dreams Realty and other businesses such as Top Dog Roofing. Brody had shamed Herbie into donating the labor for the new roof, and then rewarded him with a free information booth. Nearby, the carnival rides were doing a brisk business, squeals and loud music filling the air, while overhead the seagulls chaperoned. Moonlight Beach was also a hub of activity, with horseback riding, street acrobats, and belly dancers. Courtney's fashion show was a success, and Jenna and Sabrina came away with new outfits. Celeste and Mel and Vanita came down, and so did Brittany and her family. They all took turns watching over Aunt Edie, who was seated in a special booth filled with pictures and memorabilia from the Driftwood Inn's glory days, including the highly prized Pat Boone autograph.
I think we've got a success on our hands, Brody said to Jenna as they took a root beer float break. Looks like you're going to have the money you need.
If my ex doesn't hear about it.
Not to worry. You submit the bills, and we'll pay them from the fund.
That's a great idea.
Hey, it protects all of us. That way we can give an accurate accounting of where the money's going, and our recipients don't get accused of misspending. Don't want you running off to Vegas, he said with a wink.
I think my gambling days are through. At least until the spousal support orders have been lifted. The party continued until midnight on the pier with the carnival rides still going. By the time Jenna and company got back to the house, Aunt Edie was looking tired. But it's a good kind of tired, she said. Thank you all for coming. And thank you, dear girl, she added, patting Jenna's cheek. It wasn't me, Jenna told her. You can thank your friends here at Moonlight Harbor.
I never would have dreamed.
Her aunt looked out the kitchen window to where the night was starting to chew away a moon ready to wane.
People are wonderful.
Yes, for the most part, they were.
Welcome to the Driftwood Inn.
To do. Put ad in paper. Put up announcement on the Driftwood's Facebook page. Get punch makings and balloons. Be grateful and celebrate. Thanks to the success of the Blue Moon Festival, the Driftwood Inn reopened on Labor Day weekend. It sported a new roof, new vinyl and shower units in all the bathrooms, and new mattresses and bedspreads on the beds. Ellis West and Brody and Seth had set the fence around the pool to rights and drained it. Then a pool specialist had been brought in to repair the cracks. A local artist had painted a mural on the bottom, a mermaid swimming under a full moon. Best of all, the bank had finally been paid off. Aunt Edie and Sabrina baked dozens of cookies, and Sabrina and her friend Marigold, whose family was staying at the inn, worked the open house party, moving among the guests with trays of treats, when they weren't flirting with the cute boy who'd come down with his family. Thanks to word of mouth and a Groupon special, the Driftwood Inn was at full capacity, and Jenna's family and friends were all packed into Aunt Edie's house, with sleeping bags and army cots everywhere. Courtney, who had left Beach Babes to come work nights for Jenna, was at the reception desk, checking in a family while Jenna mingled with everyone. "The place is adorable," Brittany told her, taking in the driftwood and tasteful netting with its giant starfish on the outside wall of the office building and one corner of the motel. "And I love the blue with white trim."
"I like the mermaid in the pool," Vanita said.
"So cute. And the rooms are darling. Well, room," she corrected herself. The only room open for viewing at the moment was Seth's, which he'd allowed Jenna to use as her display model. Pete's was locked and off limits. Seth was still staying, but he and Jenna had renegotiated, and he was now a paying resident. Of course, she'd cut him a deal, and he hadn't protested too much. His was one of the sandy beach rooms, with brown carpet and a beach mural on one wall. Sabrina's picture of a moonlit beach hung in the bathroom, and more of her pictures graced the walls of all the other rooms. Several guests had already raved over the cute lamps and decorations in their rooms, and she smiled and thanked them and kept the fact that they were consignment store finds to herself. Aunt Edie, dressed in a long, flowing skirt and a top that Courtney had designed for her, accented with a scarf trimmed with blue sea glass and tiny shells, a Courtney creation, was mingling with the guests and beaming and looking 10 years younger. Pete, who'd actually shaved for the occasion, stood next to her, wearing slacks, sandals, and a Hawaiian print shirt. One of their guests, a middle-aged woman, came up to Jenna, gushing. "Our room is so cute. I didn't know they even made orange carpet anymore."
"Neither did I," Jenna said with a smile.
"Well, it's very clever the way you made it work," said the woman.
"I guess this place just got renovated?"
"It did. You did a great job."
Jenna looked to where Seth stood, drink in hand, talking to Ellis West. As if sensing her gaze on him, he turned and smiled at her, and she smiled back. Brody was relaxing on one of the office couches, keeping Patricia company. He raised his glass in salute to her.
"We did a great job," she said.
More guests came in to register, this time a family with two little boys and a girl who looked to be about Sabrina's age.
"This is quite a celebration you're having," observed the mom.
"It's quite a life we're having," Jenna replied happily.
"Well, dear, you did it," her mother said a few minutes later, hugging her. "You found the rainbow in the storm."
"It wasn't easy," Jenna said,
"but it looks that way." "I'm glad for you."
"Me too," said Celeste, who had come to stand on the other side of her. "After everything you've gone through, you finally got your happy ending."
"No," Jenna said with a grin. "My happy beginning."
Some Moonlight Harbor favorite recipes. Whenever people gather, whether it's at someone's home or around the campfire, food is a big part of the fun. Here are a few favorite recipes some of your new friends in Moonlight Harbor thought you might enjoy. Best Baked Beans. Courtesy of Wilma Spike. Ingredients: 1/4 cup salad oil, 2 cups chopped onions, 1 pound lean ground beef, 1 cup ketchup, 2 tablespoons prepared mustard, 2 teaspoons vinegar, salt to taste, 2 1-pound cans pork and beans in tomato sauce, 1 1-pound can red kidney beans, drained. Directions: heat oil in pan, add onions and simmer until golden brown, add hamburger and brown, drain, and then add remaining ingredients. Pour into bean pot or casserole dish and bake at 400 degrees Fahrenheit for 30 minutes. Makes 8 servings. Tyrella's Key Lime Pie.
courtesy of Robin Claney. Ingredients: 1 9-inch pre-baked graham cracker pie crust, 6 yolks from large eggs, 1 14-ounce can sweetened condensed milk, 3/4 cup lime juice, 3 teaspoons grated lime peel. Directions: beat yolks in medium-sized bowl until they thicken and turn light yellow. Don't overmix. Add condensed milk and mix well. Then add half the lime juice. Once thoroughly mixed, add the rest of the juice and the grated peel. Pour into the pie shell and bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 12 minutes. Cool, chill, and serve with whipped cream. Aunt Edie's Oatmeal Muffins. Ingredients: 1 cup oatmeal, 1 cup flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 1.5 teaspoons baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/2 cup brown sugar, 1 cup buttermilk, 1 egg, 1/2 cup oil, 1/2 cup golden raisins. Directions: pour buttermilk over oatmeal in a small bowl and let stand so the oatmeal can soak up the buttermilk. Sift dry ingredients into a bowl. Beat sugar and egg with the oatmeal mixture, then add to dry ingredients and raisins and mix. Spoon into lined or greased muffin tins and bake 20 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Makes 1 dozen. Aunt Edie's Shrimp Soufflé. Ingredients: 8 slices of multigrain bread, diced, 2 cups shrimp, 1/2 cup mayonnaise, 1 onion, chopped, 1 green pepper, chopped, 1 cup celery, chopped, 3 cups milk, 4 eggs, 1 can cream of mushroom soup, grated cheese, paprika. Directions: cut up the bread and put half of it into a medium-sized casserole dish. Mix shrimp, mayo, onion, green pepper, and celery, and spread over diced bread. Top with the remaining bread. Mix eggs and milk together and pour over mixture. Bake at 325 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 minutes. Remove from oven and spoon soup over the top. Top with cheese and paprika. Bake for 1 hour. Serves 6 to 8. Blackberry Coffee Cake. Ingredients: for filling, 2/3 cup sugar, 1/4 cup cornstarch, 3/4 cup water or blackberry juice, 2 cups fresh or frozen whole unsweetened blackberries. If using frozen berries, thaw and use the thawed juice. For cake, 3 cups flour, 1 cup sugar, 1 tablespoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 1 cup butter, room temperature, 2 eggs, slightly beaten, 1 cup milk. For topping, 1/4 cup butter, 1/2 cup sugar, 1/2 cup flour, 1/4 cup sliced almonds or chopped walnuts. Directions: make filling by combining sugar, cornstarch, water or juice, and berries. Cook over medium heat until thickened. Set aside to cool. Sift flour, baking powder, salt, and cinnamon into a large bowl and add sugar. Cut in butter to form fine crumbs. Add eggs, milk, and vanilla and mix until blended. Pour half of batter into a 9x13-inch lightly greased baking dish. Cover with filling and drop remaining batter by spoonfuls over that. For topping, cut butter into flour and sugar and stir in nuts. Then sprinkle evenly over top of cake. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 45 minutes. Serves 1 dozen. This is Anne-Marie Gideon. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Welcome to Moonlight Harbor, a Moonlight Harbor novel by Sheila Roberts. Produced by Elgin Productions, Inc. Executive Producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Roberts, Inc., LLC. Production copyright 2018 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books, S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.